You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hello again, twice in 2 days. It's very exciting. We're giving you all the content just now. Welcome to the Scottish Rugby Podcast. It's myself, John Anderson, at the helm once again. You are joining us for our Only Finns special, Six Nations preview. We didn't get quite as much chance to go into the depths of the French game at the weekend, so we've decided to do a wee Only Finns to celebrate. I almost said Only Fans there. I was like, that could have been controversial. Joining me today, I'm delighted again. Once again, Rory, it's like, you know, imagine seeing you here again. Rory Baldwin.
I am the proverbial bus.
And we are joined by Ian Hay. Ian, welcome.
Bonjour. I'd like a good Frenchman. I'm smoking a cigarette.
Where's your glasses? Have you got? I've popped mine on for the occasion, but we not all got our Gaultier specs on the go here. Like,
I think in the last year I've definitely developed a need for reading glasses, so when the time comes,
you'll Gaultier up.
I will definitely get some.
Oh, I mean, I think everyone should aspire to be more Gaultier. But right, well, let's talk about the weekend. Obviously, from a Scotland perspective, Ian, the big talking point is in the back row. Jamie Ritchie, former captain, completely out the squad. I do wonder what he's done to Gregor's kettle. Is that as a result of the Wales second half, or is this because Ritchie, with the announcement of Darge as co-captain, Ritchie's been on a bit of a shuggly peg for a wee while?
Yes, I mean, we all know that the back row is the most competitive area of the Scottish team, and I think last week, you know, Townsend had said that the captaincy had been taken off him due to that competition, and that he was no longer a definite starter. Last week, he wouldn't have started. So I think this was really a sort of audition for him to prove that he's worth his place. Because he's been, you know, there's been a good couple of years where I thought Ritchie was one of our standout performers. But he's certainly, I'd say, in the last 2 years, not reached those levels. And, you know, we've talked before maybe about the burden of captaincy. So maybe it's just time for him to, you know, get back to his basics of what he's good at, which is being a niggly little breakdown menace.
That's the thing, Rory, isn't it? Ritchie, at his best, is one of Scotland's first choices, basically, in my head. What's gone wrong? And, you know, I see Alan McDonald's joining as well. Come, Alan. He's saying it doesn't seem in great form at the moment post-injury. I mean, it's an attritional position back row. Is Ritchie finding, you know, there's a few niggles there and just isn't quite at that standard anymore?
Well, I do have a tinfoil hat conspiracy theory on this one, having watched the game back.
Oh, I love a tinfoil conspiracy.
He's actually been scapegoated by Townsend, because if you look at all the times that it looked like he'd get penalised, it was actually Xander was getting penalised. Xander was going into the rucks. Jamie was going in behind him. Something bad was happening. Scotland were getting penalised, but you can't drop Xander. So you just go, Jamie's fault, get him out. So that's my theory.
I like it.
I think it's almost like, yeah, the losing the captaincy thing has kind of done for him, because when he was the captain, he was kind of guaranteed a spot, even if they weren't quite sure if he should be playing six or seven. And I think now that he's not the captain anymore, because I don't think it really sat well with him, or certainly he didn't seem to make the best out of speaking to the referees. I think we've got a captain that's pretty good at that now. And I think, yeah, once that was no longer a guarantee on the team sheet, he has been, his form's been okay, but I just don't think it's as good as other options.
How do you see, obviously, the main beneficiary of Richie's demotion, let's call it that, because, you know, let's be clear, this isn't, I don't think this is a horses for courses nonsense. I think this is Richie, I think this is a dropping, and I wonder how he'll react to that. Main beneficiary, obviously, Ian, is King Rory of the House Darge, who coming in as co-captain alongside Finn, back from injury. He's been out a long time, or a reasonably long time for him. He's had a few bigger injuries than this one, but great form for Glasgow prior to injury. And what are we going to see from Darge?
All action. You know, I think I've said he's Mish 2.0. You know, he's got that same lethality at the breakdown. He gets over the ball very well. He's a bit faster than Mish. Townsend was saying he carries the ball in an unusual way, which I was, right. I'll need to watch it again. One hand, I don't know.
A jumper or something.
But he's faster than Watson. He's certainly a different running style than bouncing. You know, he's going to find a gap. And the reason he was made captain is because he is an outstanding player. So, like I said, Mish 2.0, he's earned that place through his performances for Glasgow and whenever he's played for Scotland. Even, I think, his debut a couple of years ago in the Six Nations against France, we got beaten quite convincingly, but he was excellent.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this guy's made for... He's a test match animal.
He went there.
We only say that on OnlyFans.
Yeah, you're going to get banned from OnlyFans with that sort of chat. Obviously, Rory, you know, we've lost Richie Gray in the second row, as we've talked about in the main pod, but Luke Crosby also out. So we need another back row. In steps everyone's favourite Australian, Jack Dempsey, to the fold. I personally am delighted that Jack Dempsey's getting another run. What's your take on it? Or would you prefer to see someone else in there?
No, I'm pretty happy seeing Dempsey in. I mean, I think of the three guys that have been selected in the back row for this weekend, Fagerson was probably the one who obviously was playing from the start last week and didn't go great. So there was an argument of who'd come in at six, but I think everyone wanted Dempsey in at eight. He's certainly with this kind of form he showed, but admittedly only for like one game coming back from Glasgow. I think the balance is good. Andy Christie, I think, can do line out as well. So I think he's been sort of scuppered by his versatility, because he can play across the back row. He can do a bit of a turn in the line out. The line out is a bit of a worry with Richie not there. I think that we are probably slightly lucky that their France French locks don't seem to be able to stay on the park. So you know, but Wokey's not a bad substitute that they're bringing in, and I think it was an area of concern kind of going into last weekend. It showed up reasonably well in patches, but not sort of devastatingly convincing. With Richie out, we're sort of back to freaking out that the line-out's not going to work. It's toss a coin, really.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I said in the main pod, and I've just been told that I haven't actually uploaded the main pod due to... So we're using... So for context, we're using a new platform in the background, and it defaults to draft as opposed to actually live. So that's the issue. I'm actually uploading it as we speak. But I mentioned... Actually, I think that if Lemsa being out, actually, I think France will this is a much better second row for France, to be honest. And I think Scotland might struggle in that area. That certainly from a line-out options, Wokey's a very, very talented line-out operator. Let's talk about obviously second row then, Ian. Grant Gilchrist making the return, the big red card machine, as we named him last night. What will Gilco bring, and are we right to be concerned about his recent disciplinary faux pas?
I don't think so. If this regards to the last point, that is, there's a lot of people getting sent off these days, although not against Scotland, seemingly, which is a shame that Huas isn't playing, I suppose. he's where he deserves to be, by the sounds of it. Gilchrist, his main thing is line-out operator. You know, he's a big lad as well. He's not quite the Rutherland skyscraper, but I think he's a good 6'8" of him or so. And that is his main thing. He is, you know, he's meat. He's meat in the line-out in the mall. That's mainly what we'll get from him. He's not, you know, all action or anything like that. He's getting on a bit, but his experience and leadership is a is another thing that he'll bring.
Well, that's the thing, Ian, isn't it? That we've actually, when we talk about it, and I'll come to you in a second on this topic, Rory, but when we talk about leadership, obviously, we've got Finn Russell as captain, but we've got a lot of previous captains and captains of their clubs and people who've taken the role, you know, even just looking, you know, in the backs, you've got Sione Tupuotu, who's captain both Glasgow and I think Scotland briefly. You've got Kyle Steyn, who's the Glasgow captain at the moment. You know, there's a lot of leadership in there. So was the second half in Wales a complete anomaly? And are we actually in an okay space for that leadership position?
I mean, on paper, given the number of brackets after people's names on the team sheet, we're swimming in captains and vice captains. I mean, Ben White captained England under 20s, I think. You know, there's plenty of experience in that kind of kicking about, and that's probably what we've been lacking a bit is a kind of an experienced core. But at the same time, I think Gilchrist is kind of a bit of a kind of line out nose, a bit like Big Richie, and that's probably why he's in, because we need someone who sort of knows how to run it. And I guess if the line out fires, he'll be forgiven for any, most things he does elsewhere around the park. It's the line out. It's a wee bit sorry not to see Johnny Matthews on the bench. But then it's not the Glasgow line out unit anymore. So there's less argument perhaps for that now with Gilchrist.
Yeah, I think, Ian, we've touched on it, and I don't want to be that guy, but I will be. The split of the, certainly the starting 15 split is very Glasgow heavy in comparison to our lovely neighbours. Is that just an anomaly? Is that just, you know, the way things have kind of shook out, or is that reward for maybe the way Glasgow or Edinburgh respectively are playing?
The latter, I would say. I mean, the positions where there's competition, you would probably end up, you know, if it's a coin toss, you'd pick the guy who's playing better for his club. With Edinburgh, like, obviously Darcy Graham would have been a walk-in on the right wing. But their season is going okay. But like I said, you know, if it's a coin toss call, you go with the guys who are playing better for the club, or certainly a combination. So, you know, you don't want them break up. Like Graham Cummings was last week, you know, they brought them in because they're right, Glasgow line out, they know how to play together, that'll work fine. Obviously, Gilchrist was suspended as well, but even if he wasn't, I don't think he would have played.
No.
And then Huey Pilato, you're not breaking them up. So I do think as Glasgow are playing better, and combinations. Because the whole back row now is a Glasgow back row.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned, of course, Huey Pilato, and Rory, people people having purchased tickets for this weekend. Very expensive Six Nations tickets, as all tickets now are for rugby. Better box office though. Huapotu up against the French centres, Donti and Fiku. That's a crucial battle in certainly in the attacking sense. Who do you think will get the upper hand there, and what can we expect to see from both combos?
I mean, I think statistically, are Donti and Fiku not extremely successful as a partnership in terms of France wins?
Yeah.
And usually France lose if Donti's not playing, even though, to be honest, both of them did not have great games last weekend against Ireland, whether Ireland made them look rubbish. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, Fiku's probably getting on a bit, but he's the defensive linchpin of that side, kind of in the way that Sione has been given that role. Although he's doing it from 12. I think how well the both are kind of settled partnerships, and how well whichever partnership is able to contain the other ones, because I think as a partnership you don't maybe see either of them going forward that much, is more the key of how that team works in defence. I would like to think that we'll see Hugh Pelota come out on top, just based on form. They went a lot better in Cardiff than the French lads did in at home. And they're away now. The old adages will be repeated, but not here, because we don't use cliches like test match animals and things like that. I'm not going to say which France team turns up.
There we go. Bingo.
To be fair, the team that turned up against Ireland was quite surprising, and they weren't even away from home. So
they were pretty honking.
There's going to be a big backlash coming.
How many drinks do we need to take for you saying what France?
I should build it in. We should build it OnlyFans edition.
That's it. Yeah, we'll end up steaming after 20 minutes.
If I was really on top of my Photoshop, I would do a weekly. I would scratch off all the ones that were seen and bring out new ones for each weekend.
Very good.
I saw Tuilagi, but I'm really surprised Jiffy didn't shout numbers at any point I was listening for it.
He was close in the first half. He shouted "It's on," but I read somewhere that someone has basically said, if you're a fullback with 3 meters of space in front of you, Jiffy will shout "It's on."
Yeah. And these days with the speed of like wide defence, it's never on.
It's never on.
The number of times like Kyle Rowe and Doohan went looked at like they were free, and then suddenly there was like seven Welsh defenders on them. Anyway, so I think France will be looking to make a statement that they're not as rubbish as they maybe appeared.
You expect Scotland of the big teams,
Scotland have probably less of a hoodoo about France than any of the other ones, because we've played them quite a lot. Played them 3 times last year.
Yeah,
we did beat them. If you sort of say, oh well, it's France, the favourites for their home World Cup that are coming, we're going to get hammered. But it's actually France that got knocked out of the World Cup and just got scunnered by Ireland last weekend. So maybe they're not having a good reaction to that.
Yeah, recovering.
We just have to hope that it continues for maybe one more week, because it's unlikely to go on for the whole tournament. At some point, they're going to click even without Dupont.
Well. There's the name that I was just going to come to. Seamless linkage, Ian.
You're welcome.
Goes without saying, Antoine Dupont, huge, huge loss. But how I'm going to concentrate on the other part of the 9-10. How big a loss was Entomac last week for them? And do you think that Jalabert is actually I think he's a very talented rugby player, but is he the right 10 for that French team?
Well, obviously, Dupont, you're going to miss the best player in the world, who also played 10 last week in his last game of 15s before going off to play sevens. Sorry, was that Rory you kind of cracked up a bit?
He's taking the mickey.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's just all-round outstanding player. And that was like him and Intermac had such a good relationship together. Again, combos. Jalabert, he's one like always looks impressive when I don't watch a lot of top 14, but you know, when you see him, he looks like a good player. At international level, I'm yet to be convinced.
Yeah.
I believe he's more of a bag of tricks than Intermac, who often plays 12 for his club. But you know, it's can he reproduce that, you know, club form on the international stage? Obviously, when you're filling in for such an established guy as Intermac, it's very tricky, and all eyes are on you. And then you've got Luku at nine. You know, obviously, you know, France have got great strength and depth, but everything's a step down from Dupont, isn't it?
Well, Hamish Allen in the comments is saying Luku won't play as badly again. Yeah, he was dug last week.
But... Was there not a scrum half that played in the World Cup? Because I saw the name Boudehol on the bench, and I thought that was him. But no, he's a back rower because they're going 6-2. But I'm pretty sure it wasn't Le Garrick. But there was another guy that filled in for France when Dupont got injured,
I think it was Luku, but I think he was the step in, but he looked really good. But Le Garrick is probably the main. I'm surprised he's not starting. Actually, he's a very talented rugby player. But yeah, I think it might have been Luku. But let's bring this to a close, boys and girls. Let's do our predictions, starting with you, Ian Hay. Are we going to be happy winners, sad winners, happy losers, sad losers? How does it go on Saturday night?
We'll do head hat arse.
Go for it,
shall we?
Yep.
Good idea.
Head says we lose narrowly, like we tend to do against France. Heart says, another thing with Head, we need to stop conceding early against them. The game we won, I said, at the World Cup, we're not like 20-0 down at one stage. Or I remember we conceded like 2-3 early tries, certainly. So we can't give France any kind of lead or, you know, let them build up any confidence. Heart is that, you know, another Frenchman gets sent off, and you know, things click nicely, and we come out on top, quite comfortable winners, which I think we have the skill set to do so, but obviously it'll take France sort of imploding. Arse is we concede early and we, you know, make mistake after mistake chasing the game, and the likes of Pennell will just pick us off. Because I think they've still got so much danger in that team. Those wingers are incredible. Ramos at the back, you know, he's not going to miss many from the tee. So discipline's going to be very, very important there as well.
Rory, similar thoughts for you?
Yeah. Head, I think, is sort of 2-3 point game. Could go either way. We may well come out on the wrong end of that, unfortunately. Heart is basically first half against Wales, but we managed to sustain it for maybe another 20 minutes. I can't see us doing an 80-minute performance yet. Save that for the middle round. And Arse is obviously a full 80 of the second half, in which France get a bonus point, we get no points, and tournament's over,
yeah. It's scary to think week two tournament could be over. For me, I you know what, I'm going to be a wee bit more positive, believe it or not, than you guys. Good on you. That's shocking, I know, from my perspective. I think we are going to win this one, and I think we're going to win it more comfortably than we realise. I think this is a 7-pointer for Scotland, possibly even with a bonus point. I think it'll be a high-scoring game. I think both teams are going to go out and play rugby, which... you know, looking at the fixtures this weekend, I think it's going to be easily the most entertaining rugby match of the weekend. Given, you know, England Wales is going to be a attritional kick fest of epic proportions. So, you know, if you've got a sore neck, take your medication now, because you're going to be looking up at the sky. And Ireland will absolutely batter Italy, of course. No doubt about that. So I think it's going to be a good game. I think Scotland are going to come out top in a high scoring game. Heart, as you said, you know, I think what we really need is Scotland to convince the more sceptical fans out there that they've got, you know, a 60 to 80 minute performance in them. And it was very close against Wales. And I think just the scale of the claps, referee aided, of course, but the scale of the claps has really put people a bit uneasy. So Hart, we sustain, as you rightly say, Rory, sustain a first half performance right the way through 60, 65 minutes and really give France nothing. Discipline-wise, again, Ian, you're spot on. It's really important. This one has the potential to go the other way. And France, a couple early scores, we see that same kind of shell-shocked reaction that Scotland were doing in the second half. Leaders kind of struggle a wee bit. And I just don't want all those Roman Poits online to be proved right. So that's really what my arse would be, them being proved right, and then my mentions going absolutely nuclear. So that would be the arse for me. So I think we've got a really good chance. I think we'll win the weekend, but it's going to be a great game. Looking forward to it. If you've got any thoughts on your predictions for the game, obviously just, you know, post us in the comments, hit us on Hugh Dan if you are one of the patrons. Hit us, I'm putting this out to everyone, so if you're wanting to be part of the Only Fins community moving forward, this is part of the Patreon kind of offering, it would be the right word. So get yourself over at patreon.com/Scottish Rugby Podcast, and £3 a month gets you Only Fins content, gets you, we've done what, another 40 minutes last night, Rory, on the podcast, give or take, for Hands in the Ruck. I got exceptionally angry about quite a few things. You know, there's a lot of content out there. We try to do specials we get interviews with players, not the international players, because the SRU occasionally don't like us very much, but we do try and pick off players that maybe are not under the draconian control of the governing body. There's plenty of content over there. Scottish Rugby Podcast on patreon.com. £3 a month gets you that content. Head on over and see what you can see. Otherwise, we will be back next week to review what hopefully will be a glorious Scottish victory against Le Français. So, pending that, I will say goodbye for now. It's goodbye from me, goodbye from, or au revoir from Ian Hay, and au revoir from Rory Baldwin.
Cheerio, yeah. Then. It's French for cheerio. I don't know.
Yeah, cheerio.